Just remain standing and turn in your Bible, if you will, to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. I appreciate that song. I'm glad we sang it. I was hoping we would. Amen. As Brother Hall was teaching on that. He mentioned to us, I didn't know this, that word assurance is found in your King James Bible exactly 7 times, which is the number of perfection. 2 times in the Old Testament, 5 times in the New. Amen. And there's the grace of God can be seen in that. Amen. Grace and truth came by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And thank God we can have assurance in Him. Amen. Before I read my text this morning, I wonder if the Lord might have on somebody's heart a word that you'd like to just give praise to the Lord. I'm not trying to get anything just going, but if you got something on your heart burning, I want to give you opportunity to give praise to the Lord. Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Yes, He has. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Something stirring. Yes, ma'am.
I want to thank the Lord for my salvation in the Lord. And things you just don't know, you can turn to the Lord and see if you got calm and that peace.
Amen.
I want to thank the Lord. We prayed last night and I didn't realize you all were traveling. And just, with that weather coming, and I want to thank the Lord that with, I think Ms. Shepherd said 8 vehicle or 8
yes,
accidents.
Ma'am.
And just for protecting both of you, that you weren't any part of all.
Amen.
Praise Him so much.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate that. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to bless the Lord for His kindness and His goodness. And when you read all that He went through, even before the cross.
Right.
And the pain and the agony that He suffered for me. And I'm so unworthy of it. I just want to bless His name for that.
Amen.
And like those little children would say on the mountain, Paul's Hosanna in the highest, our King. He's worthy of praise.
Amen.
And that I want to thank Him also that had the need, and He made it in a way I'd never thought of, but filed my taxes last week, got the check back this week, and paid for my new brakes.
Amen.
Bless the Lord for that, but He's just so good in so many ways.
Yes, ma'am. Amen. Yes, He is. The Lord is definitely. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Right before we read our text, is something burning on your heart? All right. Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 13. We've been studying through the book of Philippians on Wednesday night, and this is not a part of that study. We haven't gotten here yet. We're getting close. And we've not gotten to these verses yet, but I felt like the Lord nudged me on this. Matter of fact, let me mention this. Last Sunday night, I started a series on husbands and wives. Lord willing, I'll deal with that again tonight. But this morning, I'm going to preach just a simple thought out of these verses. Verse number 13, Philippians chapter 3. The Bible says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. We would say, I've not arrived. I've not yet arrived. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, Lord. Thank you and praise you. Help us, O Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Be with us. Help, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. This text is very familiar. A lot of times it's used primarily maybe in a watch night service or a New Year's type situation, talking about forgetting those things which are behind and pressing towards the mark, reaching forth to those things which are before, and then pressing towards the mark of those things. It is a, as I said, familiar text. It has been used in a number of different messages, different ways, no doubt. But the particular point I'm thinking about with this today is this. I want to title my message, Getting Past Your Past. Getting Past Your Past. We're living in a day when a lot of people have a past that haunts them. It haunts them. They look back at it, and I'll make these points as I go along, but the past is something that they've never gotten past. It's still right there, very present with them, and still in their mind. It's still like a ball and chain that they're carrying around in their life. And no doubt every one of us have got things in our past that we wish that we hadn't acted that way. We wish we hadn't spoken that manner. We wish we hadn't decided that decision. Maybe some things that we have done wrong, and by the grace of God, we've been forgiven for it. By the grace of God, we've been delivered from that. And yet, those thoughts keep on hounding us and haunting us and causing us trouble. So I want to preach today, unusual for me, I'm going to preach a topical message. Generally, I preach expository, but I want to preach a topical message this morning using this text as our proof text. And we'll compare Scripture with Scripture and look at some things, but preach on getting past your past. By way of introduction, let me point out to you something I thought was interesting about our text by way of introduction. The Apostle Paul says, look at verse number 13 and I'll show you. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Here's what's interesting. He says, I've narrowed it down to one thing. And then he mentions three things. Forgetting those things which are behind. Looking forward to those things which are before. Reaching forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Number one, I forget the past. Number two, I look forward, reach forth to those things which are before. And number three, I press on. I press towards the mark where my goal is. Amen. Now, I'll ask the question, was Paul mistaken when he said, I've got it narrowed down to this one thing? Was that three things, or are those three things really all part of one thing? You'd say with me, those three things are all part of one thing. Amen. If a man hits a home run, go back to a carnal analogy, but if a man hits a home run, he doesn't just have to hit home plate. He has to hit first base and second base and third base, as well as home plate. Amen. In order for that to be a proper home run. Well, these three things, and here's the illustration. If I had my arms full of books, and I was going down here to pick up one of these children, I'd have to lay the books down. I'd probably have to bend over and pick them up. But I could say, you know, somebody said, what did the preacher do? Well, he picked up a baby. He did that one thing, but he had to do those three things. You see what I'm saying? Those three things in order to do that one thing. Well, I believe that's exactly what Paul's saying here. These three things are tied together to make the one thing that needs to be done. Amen. Now, my purpose for bringing this out and trying to preach on it today is that I'm convinced that so many people are not forgetting those things which are behind. They're not. They're not turning loose of the past. And because of that, they're not looking forward to the future. They're keeping their eyes on the rear view mirror. They're not seeing what's out in front of them. Amen. That's dangerous driving, by the way. It'll do you good to, you need to check your mirrors every now and then, but you need to keep your eye on the road in front of you. Amen. You better keep your eye on what's going on around you. But I'm afraid so many people are not doing that. They're not forgetting those things which are behind. And because they're not looking at what's ahead, then they're failing to press towards the mark, the prize, the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. As we run, Paul had told us in the book of Hebrews that as we run this race, we need to be looking unto Jesus. That's the prize. That's the goal. That's what we're trying to reach to. We're trying to reach towards Him. Amen. And so I'll say that in order for us to do this one thing successfully, we have to tie all three of these things together. And that first part is forgetting those things which are behind. Now let me just mention a few things about getting past your past, and just real quickly, and I'll not be long with these. I've got 4 points. 3 of them be real quick, and then I'll be on the last. First of all, I've said it already, but your past can haunt you. Your past can keep you awake at night. Your past can cause you nervousness even now. Amen. Amen. Sometimes just something can happen out of the blue. You think you've forgotten it. You think you're past that. Maybe, this is interesting to me, how just an old song comes up. And you haven't heard that song in years. All of a sudden, you could repeat every word of it. And all of a sudden, you're transported back in your mind to somewhere, something. And sometimes, it's not a good memory. It's not a precious memory. Amen. It's something that is something we'd rather forget. But I'm afraid there's a lot of people that live in constant, what's the word I'm looking for? Constant fear of the past, constant being hounded by their past, constant regret over things that have happened back there that I'm going to be honest with you, we cannot go back and change. Amen. We can't go back and change those things. They're already past. Some people, when they lay down at night, they have just a moment of quietness. All of a sudden, they start remembering. They start rehearsing those failures of the past. Paul experienced that. Paul had some things in his past that he was ashamed of. Now, Paul didn't do a lot of the things that people do today. Paul was a very religious man from his youth up. But even in that religion, in his zeal, he had persecuted Christians. He had persecuted Christ when Christ said on the road to Damascus, "Why persecutest thou me?" Paul had breathed out threatenings against the church. Paul had stood by as they had stoned Stephen to death. Paul condemned himself for the things he'd done in the past, but Paul was able to say, "I'm doing my best to forget those things which are behind. Amen. I'm looking forth to the future." Can I say that it does no good just to rehearse those things of the past? It does no good just to remember those things because, as I said, you cannot change them. They're not living in the present, and you're better off to leave them in the past. And you live in the present. Amen. Live in the present. By dwelling on things in the past that you can't change anyway, you allow the past to haunt you. Secondly, the past can hurt you. Amen. It can hurt you. Many, as a matter of fact, I'll say most of us carry scars from our past. Some physical scars, a number of emotional scars, and maybe even some spiritual scars. Failures and situations in the past that have a mark yet on us to this day. Amen. Amen. Even though we've moved on, even though we've changed so many things, yet we carry those scars. And we allow those things of the past sometimes to hurt us, bring tears to our eyes, to bring sorrow to our heart. Amen. And by doing that, again, we allow the past to haunt us, and we allow the past then to hurt us because we're not living in the present. We go back in our mind. The third thing is that the past can hinder us. The past can hinder you. Amen. There's some things in our past that hinder the work of God. Amen. Hinder our work for God. There are certain things that we can do. For example, preachers that can disqualify us from that office. There are things that you can do as a Christian that can harm your testimony. By the way, one of the reasons is because some people, even though you might move on past it, some people never will. Family, probably about the worst, to be honest with you. If family remembers, they'll say, "Oh yeah, I remember. Don't come preaching to me. Don't come testifying to me. Don't come. I saw that one time you wobbled on the axle. I saw that one time when you failed." And they'll bring up the past and they'll try to cause the past then not only to hurt and to haunt, but they'll try to cause the past to hinder you. Amen. And it'd be a hindrance. Amen. They won't receive our witness because of some mistake in the past. Can I say to you again, we cannot go back and change those things. Amen. The bad seeds that you and I have sown in the past, we can't change them. But I'll tell you something we can do. We can try to sow more good seed. Amen. We can try to sow more good seed that we can. Matter of fact, I think it'd be wise to say, "Lord, help me that if I made this one advantage for Satan, help me to make numbers of advantages for Christ. Help me to do more. Help me to abound in those good things for Christ, that the good seeds might override, maybe even choke out and drown out the bad seeds that have been sown in the past." Amen. And when we're sowing those good seeds, I'll tell you, it'd do us good to water them with our tears and water them with our prayer and ask God that He might help those good seeds to come up and God to be glorified. Amen. Amen. So if we allow our thoughts to dwell on the things of the past, we're not only allowing it to haunt us and to hurt us, but we're allowing it to hinder us. I'll say this and I'll move on to my last point, and it's really the point of the message. You can't move forward properly if you're still looking back. Amen. You can't move forward properly if you're still looking back. Amen. One of the things about little Ella, when she comes to bring, she's very easily distracted. I've seen that. And she's so sweet, she wants to smile at everybody. And when she smiles at one, somebody smiles back at her. And that makes her want to smile at somebody else. And so she's looking back. Hey, listen, if we're not careful, amen, if we're not careful though, we're like that. We're trying to make progress forward, but we're not making much, we're looking back. And matter of fact, if we're not careful, we'll walk over somebody, amen, that's standing there looking at us. Little boy hoping they'll smile at them. Amen. Amen. And so, but the truth is, you cannot move forward properly if you're always looking back. Now here's the last point, and I see it in my text here, and I've got other scriptures we'll go to in a moment. But I'll say this, the past may haunt you and hinder you and hurt you, but the past cannot hold you back. The past does not have the ability to hold you there. You can get past it. Amen. The Bible says that little phrase that's used all through the Scripture that's so wonderful and gives us hope, "And it came to pass." Amen. The past can be gotten past. Amen. You think about Jesus in His life, and I don't have time to run through all the different ones. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do my best not to get caught in that rabbit trail, run too many of them. But our Lord dealt with numerous individuals in His earthly life. In His earthly ministry, He dealt with numerous individuals. And here's what's interesting to me. Every single person that ever came to Jesus had a past. Every one of them did. Our Lord never said, "Well, you know, I'm sorry, but I can't help you because of your past." Not one person's past kept them from getting the help they needed from Jesus Christ when they came to Him. Amen. He never looked at one and said, "You're too hard of a case." He never looked at one and said, "That devil is too strong. That bondage is too hard that I cannot help him." Amen. They were able to get past their problem because they came to Jesus. He was able to help every one of them that came to Him. And I believe we sing the song in the church hymnal, "Our God is able to deliver thee. I don't have to know what your problem is. I know the Savior." Amen. The song Brother Williamson has them sing on his broadcast. Matter of fact, the Millers were there and Mrs. Miller sang that song yesterday. Then it said, when it said, I've gone too far, he said, "My blood's gone farther." She said, "I've done too much." He said, "My blood does more." Amen. When you said, I'm afraid I can't do it, he says, "My blood can." Amen. I'm glad Jesus Christ can do whatever we need to be done. Amen. He can get us past our past. The past cannot keep you from serving Jesus if you'll get to Jesus. Amen. Only you can keep yourself from serving Jesus. Amen. Turn, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 5. Very familiar verses that I'll read to you. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 6 and 7. He's telling us what to do with your past. What do you do with it? I'll tell you what you do. You drop it. You get it under the blood. And like one our song says, leave it there. Amen. Take your burden to the cross and leave it there. Amen. Give it to Jesus. Let Him have it. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verses 6 and 7. I believe this is talking to the saints. And it's talking to saints that might have had a blemished past. He said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. That's verse number 6. That He may exalt you in due time. What do you do while you're humbling yourself? He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. All your problems, all your anxieties, all your cares, cast them upon the Lord Jesus. That's what the text is saying. Give your troubles to Jesus and He can handle them. Amen. He can fix it so they don't have to haunt you. He can fix it so they don't have to hurt you. He can fix it so they don't have to hinder you. Amen. You can get past those things. Amen. Here's a familiar one you don't have to turn to. In Matthew chapter number 11, verses 28 through 30, our Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You notice He said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I, He didn't say, if your case is not too bad, we'll give you rest. Amen. Doesn't matter what your case is. He can give you rest for your case. Amen. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. I was thinking about the past. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 goes through a litany of people that it says, don't fool yourself. Don't be deceived. There's a whole lot of people that's not going into the kingdom of God. That's what he says. There's a whole lot of people that are not going to make it in. Here's a litany of all those people. And then he says these terrible words, and such were some of you. You had the same problems in your past. I had the same problems in my past. But he said something happened that you're not living in that past anymore. Amen. Something happened that you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified, praise God, through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 2, and you hath He quickened who were dead. There was a time in the past when we had our conversation in the world like the rest of them. It goes through all that. We were children of disobedience. We had all those things, but God, amen, in His mercy and in His grace, came by where we were and drew us out of that past. And now I can leave that past behind, amen, by running to Jesus. Now that's not just a verse to sinners, because that epistle to the Ephesians was not written to lost folk. It's written to saved folk who have been saved by the grace of God. And you hath He quickened. Amen. You know what He's saying? You got a past, but don't live there. Live in the present. You're quickened now. Right now, you're saved by the grace of God. Right now, you're not what you used to be. Amen. Right now, you're to live in newness of life. That's what He's talking about. You're to live that resurrected Christ. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Amen. It's not me that's doing it, it's Christ. And if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Amen. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Amen. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You can get past that. You can get past it. And move on for the glory of God. One last text. Turn with me to the book of Mark chapter number 10. Mark's Gospel chapter number 10. One last illustration of this. is an occasion in the life of our Lord. And a very familiar man by the name of blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Our Lord's passing through Jericho, making His final journey through there, headed to the cross. Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 46 is where I'll pick up and read down to the end of the chapter. He says in verse 46, "And they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with the disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" Amen. "Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, 'A great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." I want you to look at verse number 50. Verse number 50. He said, "And he," talking about the blind man, the beggar, "cast away his garment, rose, and came to Jesus." Amen. I got to thinking about he cast away his garment. Not that he came to Jesus naked, but he no longer needs those rags of beggary. Amen. He's trusting that he's going to receive his sight. He's trusting that what he's asked the Lord for, he's going to receive. Amen. And he's going to get his eyesight from God, and I believe that he got more than eyesight from the Lord. Amen. I believe he got soul salvation, and I believe there's evidence of that because he followed Jesus in the way. Amen. I believe there's evidence of that in his life, in that he followed the Lord in the way. But Jesus called him, and when he called him, he no longer needs those things of the past, those garments of the past, those things of beggary that he was in. But you notice that while he's there, those people around him, his peers told him to be quiet. His problems told him to give up hope. And his past told him it's useless. But he is able to shrug it all off. He was able to cast it aside and run to Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you this morning, as you listen, whether it's over the radio or here in our auditorium, is there something in your life that's holding you back from getting to God? It's holding you and hindering you from serving Him. It's holding you, and maybe you're harboring something in your heart that's robbing you of peace and contentment. I'll tell you what you can do. You can lay it aside and run to Jesus. He is able to deliver thee. As sure as He can forgive a sinner, listen to me, a sinner that's lost, never been saved, you can name whatever, drunkenness, drugs, whatever, illicit lifestyle that they've lived, whatever it is, we think about, go to the worst in your mind, whatever it is, God is able, Christ is able to forgive him and move him on. But what about the saint of God? The saint of God that gets a blemish. The saint of God that stumbles now and then. The saint of God that sometimes misses the mark. Sometimes we fail. Amen. Now, I'm not giving an excuse because there is no excuse, but sometimes we mess up, don't we? I'm glad the same grace that could reach us when we was down yonder in sin can reach us now when we make a mistake. Amen. And though you might fall 7 times, the Bible talks about that God's able to raise you up every one of those times. Amen. And God's able to set you on course and keep you on course for the glory of God. Amen. And I ask you the question, would you lay it aside today? Would you turn loose of it and say, "Lord, by the help of God, I'm going to keep my mind on Christ. I'm going to look forward to Christ. I'm going to quit looking back. I'm going to quit looking back because there's nothing back there that's worth hanging on to. Amen. When you do have any memory, I'll tell you what, the past, rather than letting it haunt and hinder and hurt you, you ought to recognize what Jesus has done for you. And it ought to stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. Amen. Always remember, I'm not living there anymore. The song Mrs. Hall sings, thank God I don't live there anymore. Thanks to Calvary, things are different. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, every one of us can have that testimony. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you can be saved. Christ is able to save. Amen. If you are saved, you're able to serve God. God can give you that peace and contentment in Christ you need if you'll ask Him. And it's not just a one-time thing. There'll be a constant going back to that well of grace and asking God to give you another drink and help you. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. I know it's been quick. Somebody'd say short and sweet, but it's been the truth. And this is a truth we don't want to pass over because I'm afraid a lot of people are hung up. A lot of people are stuck in the past like a ball and chain. They carry it with them every day. They take it home with them when they leave church. It's on their mind when they're laying in bed. It's even with them when they're all alone, especially then. I tell you what you can do. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Amen. Let the grace of God abound in your case, in your heart. Heavenly Father, some's in the altar praying. Maybe others need to be. Lord, I pray You'd draw them by Your power. I do pray, dear God, You'd bring sinners face to face with the fact that the past, their life, it's not all past. It's the present for them. They're still lost. They need Christ. But Christ can deliver them. Christ can change them and make a new creature out of them. Christ can give them a life worth living. Real life. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Father, I pray You'd grant them that life today. I pray, dear God, You'd help saints to walk in victory, to look forward, to live in hope, hope for tomorrow, peace for today, and a forgiven past for Your glory and honor. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. While we sing, would you run to Jesus? Would you come pray if the Lord spoke to your heart and you need to come while we sing?